obviously invited, so call me back. Okay, I love you. Bye.
What's up, you guys, and welcome back to Emotionally Online, the show for spilling guts and sharing secrets, hosted by yours truly, the one and only Maddie Drosbeck. And today is such a special episode because we've somehow, against all odds, made it to episode 50. This is the 50th episode of Emotionally Online, and I am so excited about that and so proud of that. I'm really happy that we've made it to episode 50. We're gonna make it to 100, to infinity and beyond, baby. Okay, we're in it, we're doing it. I'm a seasoned veteran at this point, and I feel like that's something to celebrate. So the day that you're watching this, as you're listening, I am preparing my apartment to host my friends for a little dinner party in celebration of the podcast hitting 50 episodes, which is going to be super fun. It's been a few months since I hosted anything, just because I've been out of town so much. I really haven't been in New York for longer than a week and a half, since like May. So excited to be back in New York now, and I can focus on doing things like dinner parties that are just fun and require me to be at home. I'm a little distracted because Mango's the cutest girl ever, who just crawled up in my lap. I love her so much. Her eyeball's doing a lot better. Thank you to everyone who expressed concern for my gooey girl, my conjunctivitis girl. She's doing a lot better, though. I'm recording this episode on Thursday, the day before it goes live, because I'm running behind on everything I need to do in life right now. But that's okay, because we're having fun while it's happening. So that's okay. And also, I want to give myself grace because this is a shortened work week for me. I was not working on Monday because I was in Vegas, and then I'm not really working tomorrow, Friday, the day you're listening, because I'm throwing a party. So I'm focused on that throughout the day. Although I will be editing this episode in the morning. So yeah, it's shortened week for me, 3-day week. So I'm trying to give myself grace. I just got back from Vegas. I was there with my mom, and my dad, and my grandmother, and my little brother. What was originally supposed to be a mother-daughter trip turned into a whole family extravaganza. And I've got some words for the people that I was sitting next to on my flight to Vegas, because I don't think I've ever sat next to ruder people in my entire life. And, you know, these are the moments that I really wish that I was more confrontational. I really wish that I had, like, a fighting bone in my body. But I don't. I don't think I have much of a fighting bone, period. I think the only time I have a fighting bone is when somebody does something, like, atrocious to someone that I love. But like, even if someone was doing, like, I was thinking if I was like sitting next to a friend who somebody was doing this to on the plane, like, would I stick up for them? I don't think I would have the bravery to in this situation, regardless of who it was. So everyone's shit out of luck if they're looking for me to stand up for them in this situation, because I didn't know what to do and I was too scared to do anything. I just felt so uncomfortable, and I don't know. There's something about like people that are just, they're doing something that is so violently against a social norm that I abide by and think is like a universal truth that we should all uphold. There's something about people that go against things like that, that like they scare me a little bit. I like was fearing for myself because I'm like, these people live in a lawless world if they're willing to behave like this on a plane. So let me set the scene for you. 3 seats in a row, I am seated on the aisle. It's a five and a half hour flight. I want to be on the aisle so I don't have to bother anybody to get up and use the bathroom if I have to. Worth noting that I did not use the bathroom on either flight that I was on, because I also was like getting anxious thinking about having to walk through the aisle, and like if I was going to brush up on somebody's shoulder and look them in the eyeball, like I didn't have it in me to do it either of those days. So I did sit in my seat the entire time. Yes, I did have to pee, ran off the plane when I got off. This is besides the point. I'm just trying to emphasize to you that I maybe have more social anxiety than you think I do. So I'm on the plane, is sitting in the aisle seat. Couple seated next to me. Now, I don't have a problem sitting next to couples. In fact, I love sitting next to couples. You can make out next to me all you want, please. I was sitting in my chair in my room the other day, just looking out the window, singing a little song to myself. And there was a couple right outside that was started making out. And my first instinct as a person was to put my little fingers in a heart through the window so that they were in the middle of the heart and manifest good things for them. Okay. So when people are in love around me, it makes me happy. I like seeing people in love and affectionate and enjoying themselves. Okay. I'm not a hater. I don't care that a couple was sitting next to me and that they were making out and being on top of each other. That's cool. I'm fine with that. You have an ideal airplane aisle seat partner for that kind of behavior. I was cool with it. Actually, as I was sitting there, I was thinking to myself, like, what would happen, like, if if I was seated next to a couple on a plane and they were like, this girl is clearly so non-confrontational that, like, I could suck dick in this plane seat right now and she wouldn't say shit. And I was in my head being like, that's funny, but it's also true because I don't think I would do anything. I think I would just sit there and be like, well, I didn't see anything. But we didn't get to that point. This story is going to go in a completely different direction. I'm just letting you into all the corners of my mind right out, fresh out the gates of this ep. So sitting normally in the seat for a while. Take off, cruising through the air. We're having a good time. I'm enjoying my JetBlue flight. Okay. And they are playing musical chairs throughout this entire flight. So the flight starts and the guy is sitting next to me and then they switch and his girlfriend's sitting next to me and they keep going back and forth. Who's getting middle and who's getting window? A little annoying, but fine. I'm Miss Flexible over here. She's got no complaints. And so everything is going fine until problem number one occurs. And this is a problem that some people listening might relate to. And if you do relate to it, this is your warning to stop doing this on planes because it is hell and horror for the people around you. Okay. This couple decides, you know what? We're going to get extra comfy and cozy. We're going to take our shoes off in the plane and just let our dogs just fucking run around this aisle, stinking it up. Okay. We're going to let the bacteria from this plane and our feet just mesh together in perfect harmony. Okay. I saw them take their shoes off and I was like, dear God, fuck my fucking life. I think I'm someone, I say that I have a sensitive nose. I think I am more bothered by smells than a lot of people are. I feel like I'm always being like, do you guys smell that? Do you guys smell that? And people are like, no, I don't smell that. And I'm like, well, it smells weird. So we've got to fix what's going on in here because it smells weird. And so I was like, I feel very sensitive to smells already in my life. So I'm on a plane ride and these two people might think, you know, my feet don't smell bad. I can't smell them. Well, guess who's going to smell them? Me and my fucking bionic nose. Okay. I'm telling you, I can smell things loud and clear. I don't know what's going on. I have a super scent. It is what it is. So as they're sitting there taking their shoes off, I'm going fucking fantastic because now the whole aisle is going to smell like feet for the whole flight. So thank you so much for that. I already am like, okay, we're strapping in. Can you imagine? It gets worse. It gets worse. It actually gets so much worse. I can't even begin. So they switch seats. Boyfriend's at the window, girlfriend's in the middle seat. And she just starts thinking to herself, you know, I would really love to lay down right now. She's sitting there in the middle seat going, you know, it'd be so good if me and my boyfriend could just cuddle right in the airplane seats. There is another woman here in this row of seats, but it's okay. She's not going to mind. And you know what? She's not wrong because I was never going to say anything. What am I going to say? You think I'm going to say something? I'm not. I'm saying nothing. Oh my God. So then boyfriend's leaned up against the window and she says, I'm going to get a little cozy, comfy in here. And she picks her legs up, leans her head on her boyfriend and tries to, like, she's trying to sit like this, essentially, with her legs, like, her knees are bent, but she's trying to, like, extend them as far as she can in the seat. I need you to guess where she put her feet. Where she decided was an appropriate place to rest her little piggies and dogs. Okay? I'll give you 4 seconds. If you guessed Maddie Drosbeck's fucking right thigh, you were correct. You were correct. Because all of a sudden, I've got 10 little guests touching me all at once. And I was like, there's no way. So I don't know what I was doing. I should have just said something, but I was so like, that's mortifying to be like, ma'am, can you get your feet off me? That's crazy. Like if I just think this is what I don't understand about people like that. And maybe it's just because I'm fat. So I feel like constantly aware of my body and how I'm touching people. And I try so hard not to like piss anyone off or be annoying, especially in public spaces where I'm sharing space with people because people are fucking mean and they're rude. So I feel like on buses, on trains, on planes, I'm like, I'm sitting the whole time like this with my arms wrapped up in front of me. I got my legs perfectly in my seat. I make sure that I'm not like leaning into anybody else's personal space. I think that's just like the proper thing to do in general. I think I'm probably a little overly worried about that kind of stuff because of my body. And so I'm just always worried that somebody's getting mad at me for existing. So, you know, just constantly in a state of worry. And, but I think in general, it's nice when you're sharing a public space to be conscious of your neighbor. I wish that other people were conscious of me when I'm their neighbor, right? Because how many times have you sat next to a man on an airplane and he's like spreading it as wide as it can possibly go? I want to fight every last fucking one of you. I do. I want to fight every last fucking one of you. I wish that more people in this life, you know, not that I wish everybody to have social anxiety in the way that I do, but I wish that people would, you know, maybe have a tad bit more because perhaps they would think about their neighbors a little more often. To me, it would be mortifying. Like if I, let's give them the benefit of the doubt here. If I was accidentally, I don't know how this would happen accidentally. If I lost all feeling on the bottom of my feet, I walked across a fire at one point in my life and now I can feel nothing on the bottoms of my feet. I don't know. And now when I'm laying on a plane and I think to myself, you know what I can do in these 2 seats? You know what I have enough room to do in 2 seats? Is lay down. I'm 5'3". I'm a tiny little baby. I can fit in these seats. If I was going to do that and I accidentally was putting my feet that were taken out of my shoes onto a stranger's leg. And she was like, excuse me, miss, your fucking nasty ass stinky feet are touching me. I think I would have to open the emergency exit and jump out. Like, I don't think that I could mentally survive knowing that I did that. Like, it would be so mortifying to me. I think more people should be embarrassed about things sometimes. Bring back having just a tad, just a little touch of shame, okay? I feel like to an extent, we need a little bit of these things in life, right? Because it's what prevents us from acting the fool on a fucking airplane. So did I do anything when this woman's piggies and dogs were pushed up against me? No, I did not. I sat there the whole flight and I just vibed out. Another thing that happened on this flight, God, this was like the worst ever for me. When they were at the other position, when they were playing musical chairs again and the boyfriend was in the middle, girlfriend was at the window. Boyfriend gets up to go to the bathroom and when he comes back, and he sits down and I'm, you know, sitting back down behind him. He grabs my seatbelt. It tries to connect it to his thing. Obviously, it doesn't work because he's picking up my seatbelt. And then before I even have it in me to like realize what's happening and say something, his girlfriend lays her head on his lap on top of the belt. And he's just like, fuck it, I'm not buckled, I guess. So now I've got this man with my seatbelt on his crotch and his girlfriend with her head right there. And I'm just sitting in my chair like, you know, we better hope that we don't hit turbulence, because if we do, I'm busting a hole through the ceiling. If we do, this will be my last flight. Like, I was like, God damn it. Why is everything happening on this flight? So anyways, we made it to Vegas. And I did have a good Vegas trip. We went to see Lady Gaga. She was wonderful. Saw the jazz and piano show. It was absolutely spectacular. My grandma got to go, which was awesome to get to experience it with her. She was a big Tony Bennett fan, so getting to see her, see Lady Gaga, who she loved, because my whole family loves Gaga because I forced it on them at a young age. My grandmother really like took a love for Gaga through Tony Bennett. So that was amazing to get to see her experience Gaga for the first time and get to chat with her about it afterwards. It's always so fun to me seeing people experience their first Gaga show and getting to just ask them every question in the book afterwards. You always remember your first Gaga show, people. If you've never seen Lady Gaga live, you need to make it a mission next time she ends up in your city, all right? Because it'll change your fucking life. But my goal for the trip, for the weekend, was to come out on top, right? Wanted to make a little money. Got, you know, had a little craving for some cash, all right? I had a good feeling about winning some money. I've only been to Vegas once, and that's really the only time in my life I've ever been in a casino. I'm not much of a gambler, okay? I keep my money close to me. Nobody fucks with my money, all right? This is why I don't have a manager. Nobody fucks with my money, bitch. And so I played blackjack for a little bit day one. I've been trying to learn blackjack. I was in my hotel room afterwards playing like on my phone, trying to teach myself and learn it. I do feel like I'm pretty familiar with the rules now. I still don't really want to play with other people. Like I sat down at a table. It was just me and my dad. So he's fine if I'm like sucking and asking questions. But yeah, I'm sure other people would be mad at me. I'm not good by any means. But played blackjack for like a half hour. I ended up breaking even. So I didn't lose any money, but I didn't win any money either. Then switched to slots. And I was being like very stingy with it. Like my family, my mom was just like pouring money into the machines and was like, do more. And I would like put in $10 and be like, let's just see where the $10 goes. And I would turn my 10 into 40 and then I'd leave. And then my mom would be like, $40, that's it? That's all you're going to make is $40? And I'm like, well, I don't want to lose anything. So I'll put in the 10, I'll get it up a little bit, and then I'll be like, okay, this is good. I just quadrupled what I put in. So I felt good about it. I was up. I never lost. And so I did a little bit of slots, and then we watched the Patriots and Eagles game. And I'm, you know, I don't give a shit about sports. My dad loves sports. My brothers do. Me, my mom, my sister does not give a shit. My grandmother likes sports. So it was really my dad and my grandmother wanted to watch the game. And I was like, okay, we're going to sit at this table and like eat burgers and drink for the next 3 hours, and that's gonna get boring at some point. So you know what would make this a lot more fun is if we put money on the game, if we placed a bet. And my dad is a big Patriots fan, but he was like, the Patriots aren't gonna win. He was like, I feel confident in saying that the Patriots are probably gonna lose, and you have pretty good chance if you bet on the Eagles. My dad wasn't gonna bet on the Eagles though, because he's like, listen, I'm a Patriots fan, I can tell you I think they're going to lose, but I would never in my life bet against my team, which I think is so funny. So my mom and I went, and we each bet $100 on the Eagles. So if the Patriots lost and the Eagles won, my $100 would turn into $200. Lo and behold, Patriots lost, Eagles won. All of a sudden, I understand football. I've learned all the rules, and now I was so into it the whole time. I was like hooting and hollering with the other people in the bar because I've got money on the line here, okay? I've got stake in the game. So left $100 richer, doubled my money there, and then I was feeling good because I had a couple hundred to play with now. And I'm like, okay, I wonder what we can do at these slot machines. What else we can do with the slots? I wasn't feeling like that confident about it because I know that slot machines are usually like lost cause, but my mom had been having a lot of luck. And so we were back in the casino later that night and my mom sits down at one of the machines and she starts winning. And then she gets off the machine and my dad sits down and he starts winning. And then I sit down and I start winning. And we're all just switching off. Like somebody plays until they win. They cash out. Next person goes in. We just kept going. I'm not fucking kidding you. Off this one machine, my family won thousands of dollars. Something was fucked up. Because that machine was just pouring out money. Pouring out fucking money. So all of us walked away richer. I think literally everyone in my family left Vegas with more money than we came with, which is unbelievable. So my total, at the end of it all, I lost some money in the airport coming back. And I played slots in the airport before when I was waiting for the plane with my parents. So I think my total was $600. I won $600 at the end of it all in Vegas, which is awesome. Fuck yeah. Listen, I'll take $600. I don't foresee myself going to Vegas often. I'm not a big Vegas fan, to be honest. It's fun when you're there like for Gaga and if you have money to spend, money to play with, because if you're gonna gamble, you need to make sure that you can lose that money. Like that's cool. If you're gonna put in this $20 and this is for fun, you're going to have your $20 of fun, and if you lose it and you don't make anything out of it, you have to be cool with just using it for fun. You shouldn't, you know, gamble if you're not cool with losing that money. But, you know, if you've got something to do in Vegas, you've got a show that you want to go see and you've got money to lose, then, man, I guess it's fun for a weekend. But I think I'm Vegas'd out. I think I'm good on Vegas for the next little bit. But it was a super fun trip. And I'm excited to be back. Excited that I don't have any other plans to be on a plane anytime soon. So that's nice that I get a break from people with bad plane etiquette. There's actually like so many people have bad plane etiquette. It's actually unbelievable to me. Like when the plane lands and we get to the gate and the seatbelt sign comes off, the people that immediately stand up, I hate you guys. I do. I hate you. They immediately stand up, try to get their bags out, and they try to like rush forward. And it's like, that's not how it works. That's like, we can all agree that's not how it fucking works. There is an order to this, okay? We go row by row. So fucking sit down. Nothing's happening. Sit your ass down. It's going to take us another 20 fucking minutes to get to the back of the plane. It's so irritating to me. It's so fucking irritating. One time, I was sitting in my seat waiting and I forget who I was with. I was thinking it was with my brother when this happened, but it was me and my brother sitting next to each other. And this woman in the row behind us, we were sitting waiting. This woman stands up, shoves her bag down and literally starts pushing people. And is like, just move, just walk. What are you people doing? And it's like, have you ever been on an airplane before? Like, what is going on? What is going on? Do you understand how like flows of traffic work? Like when you're stuck in traffic in your car, do you just like get pissed and start ramming your car into other cars? What do you think that's going to do? Like the cars are still all there. Like we're not just going to magically disappear. You think I just like slice myself in half so you can walk through? Like what do you think is going to do if you're just fucking assaulting people on a plane? Anyways, nothing happened to that lady. people were just like, whoa, 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 lady, what are you doing? And her daughter looked mortified. Her daughter was probably like my age. And she was like, Mom, holy shit, what is wrong with you? And I just remember sitting there looking at my brother. I'm like watching the drama being like, oh, damn. I definitely let out a little chuckle, had a little laugh. I love when people act crazy in public. I mean, like, I don't. I wish people would just sit down and follow the rules. But, you know, I like a little drama, a little entertainment. Sometimes you don't need reality TV because there's crazy people all over the place. You're just on a plane and they're fighting to get from row 22 to the front of the plane before anybody has gotten off. They said, there's 6 people in a row and there's 22 rows ahead of me and I will plow down all of these people to get to the front of the plane. You guys are crazy. I will fight 100 people, babies included, to get to the front of this plane. I wish someone would try to like open up the exit door halfway through and be like, I'll just get out here. That'd be funny. God, some people are like so ill-equipped to live in a society. It's the little things in life that make you feel better about yourself. I may be a lot of things, okay? But I know airplane etiquette and I do not stand up the second the seatbelt sign comes off and try to rush to the front of the plane, okay? Because I've got some decorum about me. People are wild. People are absolutely fucking wild. I managed to miss another New York Fashion Week, though, which this is my going thing, I guess, is every single New York Fashion Week, I am not in New York, and I kind of love it, to be honest, because I sincerely cannot deal with the competitive nature that fashion influencers specifically have adopted for New York Fashion Week. Like, I don't get the energy of feeling like you have to collect invites to brand events in order to feel important. That is so supremely depressing to me. If I ever in my life started measuring my worth by brand invites for New York Fashion Week, like sit me down, strap me to a chair and tell me to start rethinking things. Because that's, it just fills me with so much dread and I hate it. I hate the competitiveness, the pretentiousness, people feeling like they have to flex having like 6 events a day and then other people start to feel bad if they don't have 6 events a day. Fucking, I never get invited to fashion show shit ever. Ever. I think this year I was invited to 2 events for the whole of Fashion Week. I got 2 invites. This is something that I have like beef with in like influencer culture and just like in general with influencer stuff. One of my main criticisms is like how much I hate the competitiveness of influencer events and like getting invites to shit just to say you got invited and having to feel like you're important, or if you don't get invites and you don't feel like important, like you've lost in some way, or you're not as relevant or cool as the people that are getting invites, which is like not true. I think gauging your success or your impact on what brands think of you is such a dumb fucking way to measure your value as a creator. My impact as a creator will literally never be connected to how many brands think I'm cool or want to work with me. I sincerely could give less of a shit. I work with brands because I have bills to pay, not because I fucking love advertising, right? Like, part of this job is working with brands, and I'm lucky enough that I get to work with so many brands that I genuinely truly love. I'm in long-term contracts with a lot of these brands. I'm not scrambling to pick up deals or, you know, making sure that I need to get another deal or else my bills won't be paid. My bills are paid. Okay. I'm cool. I'm comfortable. I'm set. I do this to pay my bills so that I can make my videos, do the podcast, do these creative things and have fun and do the job that I love and also be comfortable. Brand deals are a necessary part. I don't do it because I'm like, I love advertising. I love making ads. Fucking, I used to work at an ad agency and I hated it. it would be insane to me to measure my value as a creator through what brands think of me or how many events I'm getting invited to. That's wild. The measure of my impact and my value as a creator will always be my audience and not the number. What I think that my impact and my value is the relationship that I have with the people that watch me regularly. The number of people that regularly consume and interact with my content and that relationship that I have with those people, that is what's most important to me. That is my marker of accomplishment as a creator, is being able to connect with the people that are caring the most and are investing the most in my content, have this back and forth, and actually be able to see my impact and how people resonate with my content. Why the fuck would being invited to a brand event mean anything to me? Mean anything to me? It doesn't. It literally could, I could give less of a shit. I don't know. That kind of stuff just makes me roll my eyes. Like the competition to pretend like you are more important than someone else. It's the same reason why I would never go on a dating app like Raya, because that app is just like a circle jerk for people that want to feel like they're important. Like, please never measure my value as a creator, fashion creator or not, by that type of bullshit metric. That's so meaningless. I care about some self-conscious 18-year-old stumbling upon my content and being able to find confidence to wear the weird, funky outfit they want to wear, even if everyone else around them hates it. That's what I care about. That's the kind of shit that makes me feel motivated and inspired, is getting to see someone that reminds me of my past self and getting to impact them with my content in that way. A brand invite? Literally strap me to a chair and like lecture me if I ever start caring about that shit. That's so irritating to me. And this is on top of the fact that I already think that so much of Fashion Week is just so fucking full of pretentiousness in a way that is annoying to me. Like, yeah, the influencer shit is annoying, but you're annoying too for a different reason. Like, I can't. It's like the fashion community and the pretentiousness with it is the same irritation I feel with like the film community and the pretentiousness in it. When I was in college, around all these fucking film people that were so pretentious all the time, it just drove me up a wall. And sometimes when I get too close to the fashion community, the pretentiousness within it, it drives me up a fucking wall. It does. I just want to have fun and be creative and enjoy my silly little outfits and inspire other people to enjoy their silly little outfits, whether it's inspiring the way someone's styling their clothes or inspiring someone to just feel bold to style, you know, their clothes in a completely different way than what I do with my closet. I care about self-expression. I care about individuality. I care about people getting to explore fashion and film and creating things that make them feel good and alive and inspired. I don't have to like it, but I think it's the boldness and the individuality that I value and that I think is cool. I think that there is way too much pretentiousness in most creative fields, and I think we'd all do a little better to get rid of some of it. Because I think individuality is what makes all these creative fields like so rich and beautiful and wonderful. But people start to get too pretentious and they're like, this is the right way to do it. You got to look like this. You got to fit this mold. You got to hit this standard. Fuck off. You guys kill fun things. You do. You kill creativity and uniqueness by just making people fit into a box of what you want them to be. I could go on. I hate it. It's so annoying to me. So anyways, I'm glad that I wasn't here for New York Fashion Week, because I get fired up about it every time this year. I'm pretty sure I talked about this on the podcast last year too, because it fires me up this time of year. And I don't know why people place so much value in that kind of stuff. I'm not even saying that it wouldn't be fun to go to some of these Fashion Week events. If a brand you really admire and look up to invited you to an event, it would be so cool to get to go and take a look behind the curtain. But like, when people are going just to say they went, or are going to 8 to 10 events a day just to load their schedule so they can flex the fact that they went to 8 to 10 events the day, even if they don't even give a fuck about half the brands they showed up for, that is what's any who's and any what's it's. Let's get into these audience submissions, shall we? If you don't know, there is an audience submission box where you can submit anything about your life, any drama, requests for advice, just, you know, thoughts, things you want to bring to the sleepover. You let me know and we will maybe talk about it on the show. Dear Maddie, I've been dating this guy for almost 3 years, and for the past few months, I've had this small feeling in my gut that I should break up with him. He's been getting upset at me a lot at what I would consider to be small things recently, such as texting someone else when I'm not texting him, or not telling him soon enough before I go out and meet up with someone. And by the way, I don't mean telling him an hour before I go out when it was something that was planned a week ago. I mean a couple days ago before I meet up with someone when it was planned a day or two ago. Why would you need to tell him, period? I've been trying my best to be an understanding and supportive girlfriend, acknowledging and validating his feelings while also trying to hold space for myself. But no matter what I do, I feel like his standards are impossible to meet. I feel like I'm not good enough for him, and it's been making me feel very insecure, especially since I've dealt with feelings of not being enough in the past. The trouble is that I'm also in love with him, and although these things hurt me and I don't align with the way that he thinks, sometimes I can't help but feel that breaking up with him would be the wrong move, and in doing so, I would be losing the love of my life. I also think that despite these things, he is a good person. He doesn't mean to be hurtful, and I know he only does it out of insecurity, and he's also had a very difficult year. He was there for me when I had problems in the past, and I want to be there for him. I just want things to go back to the way they used to feel within the first 2 years of our relationship, when everything was perfect. I don't know what changed. I haven't talked to him about this much. How would you recommend I bring it up to him? I feel lost. I greatly appreciate you holding a space for all of us sensitive girls. Your videos make me feel comforted and at home, and I hope to grow into someone like you one day. That's very sweet of you to say. Thank you. I mean, all relationships are different and have different standards for what's normal and what's not. If I was dating someone and they were getting mad at me for communicating with other people or making plans with my friends, that would piss me off. I don't believe that I need permission from my boyfriend to go hang out with my fucking friends. I also don't think that I need to tell my boyfriend everything I'm doing at every second of every day. I'm sure naturally you share a lot of that just because you're talking and you're excited and you're sharing your lives together. But I don't need to. I think there's a difference between like you just share that because you're talking a lot and you're sharing a lot versus feeling like there's a rule in place that you have to tell your partner so as to like ask permission to make plans days in advance. Even if you did make plans in an hour in advance, you're allowed to do that. You are allowed to make last minute plans with your friends. Why would you not be? That's wild. So I don't know. My reaction to hearing stuff like that is like, whoa, that seems really controlling to me. And I think it speaks to your character that you've been trying to be understanding and supportive. And, you know, when you say that you, despite all of these things, you think he's a good person. He doesn't mean to be hurtful. He only does it out of insecurity. He's had a difficult year, whatever. I think that's usually the case, right? I think most of the time people are not like inherently evil people, right? But people have certain sets of experiences in their lives. They have certain sets of insecurities. They go through things, it impacts them a certain way, and then impacts how they act. We can like hold space for the fact that like just because someone is doing bad things or behaving in ways that are unfair, it doesn't necessarily mean that they are like an evil, irredeemable person, right? So you're allowed to be like, this is weird behavior, and he has all these absurd expectations of me that I can't meet, and that can be true, and it can also be true that he's not a bad person. Those things don't contradict each other. Also, everyone has insecurities, right? He has insecurities. You have insecurities. I have insecurities. We all have insecurities. If you're going to make a relationship work, you don't have to be a fully healed version of yourself, right? But you need to have, one, some self-awareness, and B, the ability to communicate openly about your insecurities without making it like constantly an attack or the other person's problem. This is partially the self-awareness part as well, right? Because if you are insecure, like if you're someone that when your partner doesn't respond to your text within like an hour, in 2 hours, you might start to feel insecure. The solution there is not, so my partner has to respond to me in the span of an hour or else I'm going to scream at them and make them feel bad. That is not a proper solution, right? But you can have that insecurity and tell your partner, because of some of my past relationships and dating experiences where trust was really not something that I had. Sometimes I struggle with texting and the time it takes people to respond to me. So today I got a little triggered when it took you 2 hours to respond to my text. I know it's not unreasonable for you to take 2 hours to respond to my text. I know you're busy. I know you're working. It just made me feel some type of way, and I would appreciate some reassurance and to just talk about this openly a little bit, because it definitely made me feel a little insecure. And you can have an open conversation about this thing that, you know, if you were just going around demanding, you have to respond to me within 30 minutes every time I text you, that would be wild. Making a demand and starting a fight with someone you're in a partnership with versus opening up a conversation, being vulnerable, sharing that you feel insecure or uncomfortable, that your feelings were hurt, and being able to talk about it is a different thing, right? We can be insecure and still have productive conversations and work through things with a partner, or we can be insecure and be like demanding unrealistic things from our partners and be unwilling to look inwards and see that perhaps we need to be doing some work to feel differently, and our partner just doesn't need to be meeting all of these expectations that are ultimately unrealistic and unhelpful. You know what I mean? So it's like, he can be insecure and be going through his own shit and whatever, but at some point, he's got to look inwards and confront that with himself instead of just demanding things of you and trying to be, I mean, it feels controlling to me to be mad at someone for texting other people, like texting your friends, or for making last minute plans as in 2 days in advance with people. That's wild. You are allowed to do that. You are allowed to 20 minutes before hanging out with someone decide to hang out with someone, right? You do not need permission from your boyfriend to make plans with your friends or to talk to your friends, text your friends. So I don't know. It's one of those things that, like, it's not that something like this couldn't be worked through, but it does take somebody who is self-aware and who is like wanting to work through it and has an awareness that they are part of this problem. And it doesn't sound, from what you've written here, that he has that awareness. A relationship is work, and it's communication, and it's meeting people halfway, and it's being vulnerable, but it's also being self-aware and self-reflective of how you contribute to your own problems. And if someone can't do that, they probably shouldn't be in a relationship. So this is hard, right? And I don't know everything. I only know the little that you've written here, and this is how I'm reading it, how I'm perceiving it. I think it's one of those things that if he is able to have a grown-up conversation about his insecurities and how they're manifesting and what triggers him without expecting you to meet every single demand, then great. But if he's unwilling to acknowledge how his insecurities are impacting your relationship, he's unwilling to meet you halfway, he is unwilling to accept that some of his demands are unrealistic and can be kind of controlling, I don't know how you can move past that. I don't know. To me, that would be like relationship ending stuff. If you can't navigate through your own insecurities with a partner without using them as like a weapon towards your partner, then I think you should be single, because that's not fair to you. So good luck, and do not feel bad for not being able to meet all of those expectations, because from what you've written, seems a little wild. Hello, Maddie. This week I learned that my boyfriend does not like period sex. There would be times we'd be intimate and he'd stop because he has a fear of blood. I am aware of these fears, but it's hard not to feel bad and insecure of my body on my period. Do you have any tips on becoming more confident in your body while on your period? And what are your thoughts on period sex? My thoughts on period sex is that it's really sexy. I love period sex. I find that I'm usually hornier on my period, and it is really hot to me when somebody's down with that. I'm pretty sure I've said on the podcast before that, or maybe it was a video, I don't know. I've definitely said on the internet before that, like, the idea of someone going down on me when I'm on my period, it, like, makes me want to do cartwheels. I can't do a cartwheel, but it makes me want to do cartwheels. I know that some people think that's like so gross, but it's not, it's like, what's so hot to me is someone being like so attracted to you and into you and not giving a fuck about like any bodily function or fluid. They're just like, I want you and I want you to feel good. And like, I don't care what it takes. It's like, it's not even happening. It's like, I didn't even realize that you were on your period. I just fucking am obsessed with you. There's something about someone not giving a shit about it that is like really sexy to me. With that being said, if somebody didn't want to have period sex and they had a reason like this where it's like they have a fear of blood, I wouldn't be turned off by that. It's just, okay, we don't do it in that partnership. A fear of blood, I think, is a reasonable reason to not like period sex. If somebody was like, I don't like period sex because periods are gross, gross vagina girl things. And then that, I'm like, you're a fucking loser. But if it's someone that's like, I have like a fear of blood overall, when I get a paper cut, I pass out sort of thing. Cool. Don't worry about it. Right? Like you're cool. Don't worry about it. We're good. We don't have to have period sex. It's really not a big deal. It's more just like if somebody was going to be an asshole about period sex, that would piss me off. But if someone's like, I'm so sorry, I wish I could, but blood literally makes me ill. That's fine. Right? Yeah. Different strokes for different folks. Personally, I love it though. I love period sex. I think it's super hot. I also don't really have a super heavy period anymore. Back when I had a really heavy period, I might not say the things that I'm saying right now. Like the thought of someone going down on me when I had really heavy periods, I don't think I would like that. I think I would be like so self-conscious about that. Or sex in general when I had really heavy periods. I don't know. My periods have gotten lighter over the last few years. I switched birth controls a few times. Now I'm on the pill. And the pill, for whatever reason, makes my period like way less than it was when I was younger. When I was younger, I used to have like 10 day periods and they were heavy days 1 through 10. Right? Like I was changing my tampon multiple times within an hour. It was heavy, 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 painful periods growing up. And now my period lasts for like 4 days and it's usually only one of those days is heavy. So things changed for me. So keep that in mind also when I'm saying I love period sex and I would love the idea of someone going down on me when I'm on my period. It's like not the craziest thing. But focusing on what you asked here about having any tips on becoming more confident in your body while on your period, I don't think there's anything to be insecure about when it comes to having your period and being someone that menstruates as a whole, though. Like, I don't think you should be embarrassed or insecure around your boyfriend about the fact that you're on your period. First of all, you do not eat, sleep, and breathe to provide pleasure for your partner. Ever. Ever. Okay? You're a person, and if they don't want to have sex during the week of your period because they have a fear of blood, then fine. But I think it's also fair for you to tell your partner that, like, during that week, you would appreciate more acts of affection and interest to be shown since you guys aren't having sex. I think that'd be a fine thing to ask for. If you are like feeling a little insecure because it throws off the routine that you guys have for how often you're fucking, or you just feel funny and undesirable, and it would make you feel better for your partner to express affection and desire towards you in other ways that week, then like tell them that. Because I think that's a fair thing to ask for. There's nothing gross about a period. It is a natural body function and you shouldn't feel bad about that. And even if your partner's not meaning to make you feel bad about that, that is how you're feeling right now in this situation. It's bringing up something for you. So I would go ahead and just ask them to be a little bit sweeter, a little bit gentler, a little bit more affectionate in other ways while you are on your period. Because listen, that would be good anyways. That's just fun and nice and sweet to have someone be sweet and caring to you, especially when you're on your period and maybe are not feeling your best. Hello, Maddie. Here is what has been on my mind lately. I listen to Boyfriend ASMR. A year ago, I began my search for a porn genre that aligned more with my needs, which is what led me to look for audio erotica. I found a particular creator on Patreon that I still to this day really enjoy. I always look forward to his erotic audios, and I'm so glad I found porn that I can enjoy so deeply. They present dynamics, helped me get to know myself and my sexuality. Moving away from visuals portraying women that do not look like me has been very healing for me. I can also listen to his Safe for Work content, which I also enjoy. For most people, boyfriend audios would be described as cringy and pathetic. These are words I often hear. Whenever I see these kinds of comments, I always get a little hurt at the fact that so many people would laugh at me if they knew that I use boyfriend audios as a form of entertainment, but also comfort. I try to remind myself that it's okay to enjoy the things I want to enjoy, but it does make me feel so sad and almost alienated. This sometimes makes it hard for me to enjoy this content because I feel abnormal and ridiculed, even if no one is here to notice it. How do I embrace the cringe and just live the life I want to without taking the opinions of strangers to heart? How do I acknowledge the shame that I feel towards consuming this art without letting the negativity consume me? I feel that very often, especially in internet culture, people use humor to cope, but I don't want to make fun of myself for the things that I enjoy. What is it about boyfriend audios that make it so difficult to admit we enjoy it so deeply? You want to know the real answer? Misogyny, babes. People hate on anything that women love. Like, straight up, anything that women love, people will find a way to call it cringy and make fun of it. You see it in so many ways, in so many things. It's like, I mean, I could talk about how that applies to teenage girls and like things that teenage girls are interested in for hours on end. People just love to bully women and the things that appeal to majority women audiences. Like, I think of literally anything where the majority audience is women, and I'm sure you can think about a time that it's been called cringe or made fun of, called lowbrow in some way. This is one of those things, right? Audio erotica and boyfriend audios appeal more to the desires of women. For so long, porn and erotic content has been crafted and curated specifically for the male gaze. Now we have a lot of other erotic content that is a lot more enjoyable to consume when you're not a man, right? I also love listening to just like erotic and romantic stories in general. Dipsy, which is where I listen to my erotic stories on. They have moan audios and they have stories that are like, you know, someone's in your ear telling you what to do. But they also just have like audiobooks about like relationships or boyfriend audios where it's just like a sweet romantic scenario that you're listening to. It's not necessarily like a sexual scenario that you're listening in on. It doesn't have to be. I think that these are things that women find hot. These are things that turn women on, and people will find any reason to make fun of the things that are catered to women, right? I do not think that audio erotica is cringe, and I think that anybody that thinks it is cringe needs to take a hard look in the mirror and ask themselves why the fuck they are riding so hard for misogyny. Why are they trying to make women feel bad for finding a type of erotic content that doesn't degrade them and enjoying it? Let's do some thinking there, okay? What's really more embarrassing here? Consuming erotic audio or being someone that hates on people that consume erotic audio when clearly it's been made with a purpose, and it's because so much of porn is so degrading and humiliating towards women, and this is a type of erotic content that women can indulge in that won't also make them feel like a piece of meat. Is it that crazy? Like, is that fucking insane? I just feel like if you have existed as a non-man, you should be able to see why this is beneficial, right? Even as a man, you should be able to see why this is beneficial or why people like this. And if you don't see it, if you don't get it, then fucking... And I think that most people with some sense about them that have either experienced life as a non-man or are a man and like have even the slightest care towards women, like, you get it, right? We get it. We must all get it. why this would be appealing. I don't think there's anything cringe about it. I think it's awesome. I think it's amazing that you found something that turns you on, that is enjoyable to you, that makes you feel good. It's awesome that you found a creator that you're able to support directly for this type of content. I think that's amazing. I think it's all awesome. And I don't think that you have to feel bad about it whatsoever. In fact, I think the people that are making you feel bad about it should be the ones that feel bad, because it's fucking embarrassing to not get it and not be with it and not be able to use your critical thinking skills to understand why the fuck women might be searching for something different in erotic content. To just put on our thinking caps for a second and think, why is it that a lot of women do not like watching porn? Why is it that women are searching for a different type of erotic content to turn them on? Why? I wonder why it could be. Like, let's use our brains for a second, do a little thinking, and then reassess how we speak about these things, okay? They're the embarrassing ones, not you. A dude that I went to high school with got onto Love Island, and I don't know what to do with that information. I need to clarify that I'm not from the UK, so sadly not the Love Island, though that would have been insane, just imagining you seeing this messy man on TV and roasting him on the podcast. I'm going to leave out the next part of this submission just because they go on to describe more of who this is and something that he says in the show. So I'm just going to leave all of that out just so that we're not getting too messy on the pod. Nobody needs to start beef with me, okay? I am merely a woman at a sleepover. That is all. This has just made me think about my relationship with my high school experience. Like, I used to have these revenge fantasies where I would appear at a high school reunion being gorgeous, smart, and super gay, kind of shocking them or proving myself and where I am now. But I don't like these fantasies and the fact that I still am sometimes hung up about my teenage years. Like, they still impact me. I guess my question is, if you can relate to the revenge fantasy part, how can I move on from wanting to prove myself to these people? Because rationally, I don't value their opinions at all. So I'll start by saying that I don't think you need to feel weird about still being impacted by bullying you went through in high school. I get it, because that's definitely something that I've said to my therapist as well, but like, bullying is a trauma that you're experiencing, and it makes complete sense that as an adult, the things that you learned during the formative years of your life, things you went through during the formative years of your life, might still pop up from time to time. That's normal. I think anybody that experienced like extensive childhood bullying can relate to that. I can relate to that. There are still like moments or things that happen that bring up a feeling or a reaction out of me. And it can, like, so much of it connects back to things I felt when I was in middle and high school being bullied. So I don't think you need to feel weird about that. I think that it is very normal, and it makes complete sense why you would still be impacted by something, or that sometimes it would get brought up by certain things, because it is really difficult. And I mean, I've said that I think that people really downplay the impacts of bullying. I think it's a really difficult thing to go through as a kid, as a teenager, when you're trying to build self-esteem and like grow into yourself. It's a very challenging thing to go through. And I think it is too often swept under the rug as like just a thing that kids do. Because it actually can have serious impacts on people long into adulthood. So don't feel weird about it. A lot of us feel this way, and like, it's tough and it's challenging, but you're not alone in that. And it's absolutely not abnormal in any way. I don't know that I've ever really felt like I had a revenge fantasy. I think for one, I would rather die than go to a high school reunion. You could not pay me to go to a high school reunion and hang out with those people. It's not worth any amount of money to me. Not interested. Just, yeah, it's just not a thing that I would ever want to do. I don't think that I have ever felt like I needed to get back at people that made me feel badly when I was a kid, because I think that they lost from like the day they decided to do that to me. I don't think that I needed to prove them wrong and be successful and make a lot of money in order to prove that they shouldn't have treated me like that, because they just shouldn't have treated me like that. From the day it happened, they shouldn't have treated me like that. I don't think that I need to prove anything to those people at all. I don't think they deserve an ounce of my time or my energy or my mental thought at all. They were mean and they were nasty. And there's no reason why people like that should have access to my heart and how fucking wonderful it is to be around me. Okay? Like, they're nothing to me. I don't think about it. And it's not something that keeps me up at night, because I think those people fucked up from the day they decided that they should be mean to Maddie Drosbeck. Okay? I didn't need to become a bigger, better version of myself in order to make that true. It was wrong from day one. And listen, some of the people that were mean to me when I was a kid very well could have changed, and they might look back on things they said and did to me when I was growing up and feel bad about it. I've seen a few apologies. I've gotten a few apologies from people in adulthood, and I really do appreciate that. I hope that people can change and grow from those kinds of things. I hope that people don't remain the person they were when they were 16, 17, 18. I can give people grace, and I am happy to assume that people are different and that they wouldn't look back on things they said if they remembered it even. And really stand by it and think that it was right. So I think the other part of it is, like, I don't assume that people still care or that people are still like that. I don't assume that people I went to high school with are still sitting at home judging me. Maybe some of them are. But for the most part, I think that people are just off living their own lives and doing their own things and not thinking of me at all. I mean, that's probably the truth. Nobody's thinking about me. Maybe some people check in every now and then and they see that I'm doing as a career the very thing I was bullied for growing up. You know, I was bullied for these videos, for these little things that I do. And now I make triple their salary doing it as a career. So I'm sure that some people have noticed, have looked. I'm not going to assume that anyone cares. Maybe people looked and they just said, oh, good for her. She used to like doing that thing a lot, and they don't remember ever making me feel bad for it. Or, maybe they looked at it and they thought, wow, she's so fucking cringe. I don't really give a fuck, right? Because this is what I love. This is who I am. And these people that I don't know anymore, that mean nothing to me, that were mean to me when I was younger, I hope that they are different people and that they're grown-ups and that they wouldn't behave that way anymore. But if they still are childish people that think little of me, then, like, that's embarrassing for them. To be so committed to being an insufferable hater is embarrassing. Bullying people is embarrassing. Making fun of people for making silly little videos or making fun of people because of the size of their body is embarrassing. It was always embarrassing. They look like morons. They looked like morons then, and if they stand by those opinions now, they still look like morons. But I'm going to hope, and I'll give them the benefit of the doubt in saying that these people probably grew up, and they probably don't remember any of the things they said to me or the way it impacted me, and I hope that they are going off living happy, fulfilling lives in which they are not assholes. I hope they changed. I do. I hope they are wonderful people. And if they're not, sucks to suck. I don't need to prove anything to those people. I was worthy of respect and love and admiration back when I had nothing to show for myself at all. So I don't need to prove to those people that I'm cooler now or that they should really go look at what I'm doing now. Maddie makes money off YouTube now. Like, this shit was cool when I wasn't making money off it. I was worthy of better treatment when this was just a silly little thing that I did. So no, I don't feel the need to prove myself to those people because I don't think that they deserve it. I have moved on with my life. I hope that they have all moved on with theirs. And I hope they're better people for it. So with that, we've reached the end of the 50th episode of Emotionally Online, the extravaganza we were all waiting for. Thank you guys so much for making it to 50 episodes with me. That is crazy, buck wild, bonkers, bananas. What the hell is going on? Can't wait to make it
to 100 episodes with you guys. Thank you so much for being here. Thanks for attending my sleepover, for spilling your guts and sharing your secrets with me. This is the most fun part of my week every single week, and I am just so lucky to have you guys here. So thank you guys for listening. I love you so much, and I will see you next time.